بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: ولسليمان الريح عاصفة تجري بأمره إلى الأرض التي باركنا فيها وكنا بكل شيء عالمين. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا وبارك لنا في يمننا. قالوا: وفي نجدنا؟ قال: اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا وبارك لنا في يمننا. قالوا: وفي نجدنا؟ قال: هناك الزلازل والفتن، وبها أو قال منها يخرج قرن الشيطان. هذا ما رواه الترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن غريب. My dear respected listeners, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Many of us have heard of the different countries in the Muslim world. We know about Makkah and Medina Munawwara because we go there for the Umrah and Hajj. And its love is ingrained in the heart of every Muslim. We also know of other famous countries and cities around the Muslim world, especially Jerusalem, which has been in the limelight and the focus for a very long time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove its problems and return it back to the safety in the hands of the Muslimin. Ameen. There are yet other countries which people would probably know more about. For example, Morocco and Tunisia and maybe Egypt, more than they probably would know about Damascus and Syria. And the reason for that is more people, it seems, go to these countries for visitation and tourism purposes. And for some reason, Syria doesn't seem to be high on the list for many people. Now, the other thing is, maybe the reason why people don't go to Syria is because there's been a bit of a issue with the political system, and going there makes you suspicious in the West for some reason. There's countries like that. You know, if you go to Iran or Afghanistan or somewhere, you'd come back here, you'd probably be questioned of why you went to these places. Whatever the reason is, people don't know much about Syria. Now, there are numerous things about Syria, numerous virtues and excellences about Syria, which many of us are probably unaware of. And the reason I bring this up today is because for the last several months, we've had major problems there. And now it's becoming even more, people are becoming more informed. They're taking notice. Because the other places like Tunisia and Egypt, Libya, there were issues there, so it all came up at once. They would have thought that Syria would have been the last place to have had such a problem, because it was a complete lockdown. It was an absolute and complete lockdown. And I'm telling you from personal experience, because that's one place I've actually had the fortune of going and spending a number of months and studying there with the ulama of the area. It was said that among every three people that would get together, one of them would be a spy. And the thing which proves that is that I cannot remember in any single conversation that I had while I was there, not that I was looking for political conversation, because I'd gone there for studying the Islamic sciences and I had no time to talk about the politics. But the once or twice the discussion did come up from somewhere or the other, the Syrian person you would be speaking to would normally respond by saying, هَذَا الْأَمْرُ لَا يُهِمُّنَا. This matter does not concern us. The politics of every country concerns the individuals living there because it affects them. And yet every single one of these would say, لَا يُهِمُّنَا. Because that was the only answer they could give and be safe. Imagine you were sitting three people in a room, family members maybe, and you couldn't trust. You didn't know. It was either yourself who was the spy, the jasus, the mukhabarat as they call it, or it was somebody else in that room. I mean, maybe it's a bit of an exaggeration, but that is how serious things were. Now imagine living in a place like that, where you have absolutely no idea, no freedom to discuss things, halal things for that matter. Psychological prison. This was a similar case was in Tunisia. If they saw a light on in your room at Fajr, in your house at Fajr time, forget going to the masjid. If you had gotten up at Fajr time and put a light on in your bathroom or your bedroom or whatever to pray Fajr, you'd get a knock on the door the next day. That was probably worse than Syria in that, because in Syria you had freedom of religious expression. You had freedom of the sciences, the ilm. That's why you hardly hear of any great scholars coming out of Tunisia. Yet there used to be a great university there, the Zaytuna of Tunisia. So both places had different issues. And likewise, all of these countries, they had different issues. The thing about Syria though, and specifically Damascus for that matter, there are great fada'il and virtues in the ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized. And he spoke about it at a time when Syria was not under the Muslims, when Assyria was still under the Roman Empire, predominantly Christian. It was under the Romans. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said numerous ahadith. If you pick up most of the hadith collections, you'll find a chapter, Fada'il al-Sham, the Fada'il, the virtues, the excellences of the Levant. The Sham is Syria, parts of Jordan, parts of Lebanon, and Jerusalem, and Palestine. And the two most famous cities in the Sham in general is Jerusalem and Damascus, specifically mentioned in the hadith about these. One for the masjid, the other for the place as well. In general, that whole area is blessed. And if you go to any of those two areas, you will feel it. You will experience it. And I'm telling you firsthand, because I've had, alhamdulillah, the fortune of visiting both of these places. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said he made a dua, not a statement, he made a dua, a prayer to Allah. Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. O Allah, bless our sham. Sham was not ours yet, but it was ours because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said so. And sham, since it's come under Islam, it's been ours. O Allah, bless us in our sham, and O Allah, bless us in our Yemen. These are the two places he made dua for, Sham and Yemen. The people who were sitting there, maybe they came from the east of Medina Munawwara, the eastern border of Saudi Arabia today, for example, the Arabian Peninsula, where Najd is located. That's the direction of Iraq. Sham is in the north. Iraq is towards the east. They said, Wafi Najdina, pray for our Najd as well, or our Iraq. I mean, in another version, it says Iraq. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated the same dua. O Allah, bless us in our Sham and Yemen. He did not mention Najd or Iraq. They again said, Wafi Najdina. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hunalika az-zalazil wal fitan. There will be turbulence and trials. That's where trials and turbulence, earthquakes will occur. And from it, the horn of the shaitan will appear. From that direction. It's generally talking about the eastern direction. Imam Tirmidhi has related this hadith. This dua, you can feel it in Sham. The piety and the righteousness among the people. If you want to see a successful community, you will see how they interact with their masajid and their deen. The way you can tell if somebody interacts with their deen is how close are they to their ulama. Because the ulama are the inheritors of the prophets, Among the Bani Israel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that prophets used to be sent among the different tribes to look after their and administrate their affairs. But in this ummah, there will not be any more prophets after the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will be ulama. And you can tell whichever country you go to that if that country is going to be successful, see how they interact with their ulama. And believe me, I've been to a number of other Muslim countries and Muslim cities. The light of knowledge you see in Syria, it's definitely not extinguished. There are great majalis that used to take place, and I'm sure they continued. I'm talking about 98, 12, 14 years ago. People would be constantly in the masajid, there'd be durus in the different masajid. After Fajr, after Maghrib, after Isha. Not just that, there's one thing I saw there which I haven't seen anywhere else. Not that it probably doesn't take place, but I haven't seen it even in India and Pakistan. That the ulama would also be continually studying. Alhamdulillah, the shaykh that I studied with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took him before this fitna began. May Allah bless him, Shaykh Adib Kallas, very old, great Hanafi shaykh of Damascus. And another one of Shaykh Abdul Razzaq Al-Halabi, who used to teach in the Umayyad Masjid, the one where Isa alayhi salam is supposed to descend to. He has recently passed away as well, just a month or two ago. May Allah bless them both and all of our teachers. But when I speak about Syria, Sheikh Adib on Monday, he used to tell me, do not come here. Because he used to have a special dars with some of the ulama. I used to see the ulama sitting there. People with white beards, studying with others with a white beard. Once you graduate, you think you're finished, completed, perfected, accomplished. It's only the beginning. This is the connection that I saw down there with the deen. Yes, there are problems as there are everywhere because we're much further away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. You will never get the situation of Medina Munawwara as it was during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I'll give you some examples. When I was there in Syria in 98, there was no Coca-Cola being sold anywhere, neither Pepsi-Cola. You could buy it on the street corners, smuggled in from Beirut. I'm just trying to tell you how distant they were from modernization. It felt traditional. The deen was there. There's nothing wrong with modernity as long as the deen is there. There was no McDonald's and none of these chains. There was a local pizza place, an own brand. Things of that nature. You could feel the deen there. The people, when you speak to them, there's constant du'as. You go and buy something, they'll give you a du'a. Mu'awwadeen, Allah yu'tika al-afiya. It's just on the lips. Just constantly on the lips. The environment was, and I'm sure it continues to be, absolutely beautiful. And there's du'as for this. It shouldn't come as any surprise. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is absolutely true. We don't have time to go through all of the hadith. But just to give you some idea, there's another hadith from Zayd ibn Thabit al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. He says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ya Tuba lishsham. Such glad tidings for Sham. Oh, such glad tidings for Sham. He said it three times. They asked, Ya Rasulullah, for what reason? Why are there glad tidings for this place? He says, تِلْكَ مَلَائِكَةُ اللَّهِ بَاسِتُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا عَلَى الشَّامِ. Those are the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have laid down their wings over Sham. Yes, they're going through a trial, but they will come out of it. The regime is evil. I've already given you some understanding. We went to Hama, which was the city that was leveled in 1982 by the father of the current ruler. Indiscriminately, more than 10,000 people were killed in a matter of days, just like that. We went to the grand masjid, the old masjid that dates back hundreds of years. It was a restored project now. It had been destroyed during the bombardments in 82. In the front wall of the masjid, the bottom half or part of that wall is made up of the same stones from the old masjid. The person who took me there, he pointed to the holes in those bricks making up that wall. He said, those are the bricks from the old place. Those are the bullet holes from the last bombardment that is kept there to keep us in check. Allah knows best what the intention is for those stones to be there. But those are there. When you pray there and you can see the wall, that's a reminder. Those holes are a reminder. Those bullet holes. Sham was a place that people went to because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned so much barakah in that place. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said people will go to Sham towards the end. That will be a place of safety. He even mentioned the place within Sham. He mentioned Damascus by name in a number of ahadith. He said there's a city there that is called Damascus. For example, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I have seen in my dream the angels taking the pillar of the book and going towards Sham. And he said, when the fitna will occur, the iman will remain in Sham. That is the direction people will go in. You will find there great scholars. There's a Babu Saghir cemetery. There are Sahaba buried there. Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu is buried there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Sahaba to go there if they wanted to go somewhere else. There are the granddaughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried there. The daughters of Ali radiallahu anhu, Umm Kulthum and Zainab radiallahu anha. They are buried there. You've got other Sahaba who are buried there. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is buried there. Great scholars went there and are buried there and live there. You have, for example, Imam Nawawi, the great Imam Nawawi, the author of Riyadus Salihin, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Kathir, the great Mufassir. You have numerous scholars. Ibn Rajab al-Hamal, a lot of these great, great scholars came from that area. When Imam Ghazali left Baghdad and he wanted to go into a spiritual retreat, he went to three places. He went and he stayed for a long period in the Umayyad Masjid. In the Umayyad Masjid, where Isa alayhi salam is said to will come down on the eastern minaret of that masjid. He went to Jerusalem and he went to the Haramain. These are the four places that he went to. He stayed in a room in the Jami' al-Umawi. Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Halabi used to teach there. He taught the great book called Hashiya ibn Abidin, one of the greatest of the latest books of Hanafi fiqh. It used to take him 7 years to complete one round. And he must have completed it 3 or 4 times during his lifetime. He has just recently passed away, rahimahullah. This is the kind of thing we're talking about. I wanted to mention this and bring this to the fore to show you that this is another place in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a lot of barakah in that general area, but specifically Sham. Today when you say Sham, it refers to Damascus. And believe me, there's greatness there. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a lot of relief work that's taking place because now people there are in need because of the severe lockdown. The neck hold that the regime has on people. Ummah Welfare Trust will be doing something. Check on their website. There's donations that you can make and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strong dua for not just that place but for all places. But that place is severely going through some serious 50 people, hundreds of people are dying every week. 5, 10,000 people have already died. Nobody knows the true numbers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.